Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Jays from Away podcast, episode 16.
Got this force coming through in my blood, in my veins. It's a current of love.
This week we have the Buffalo Bisons end of season awards, followed by our minor league roundup, and finally, the conversation with pitchers Drew Hutchison and Kyle Drabek of the Buffalo Bisons. So sit back, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays from Away podcast. Welcome back to the Blue Jays from Away podcast. It's our first episode in a couple of weeks, and I just got back from New York City where I was performing last weekend. I also managed to take in a game at Citi Field, home of the New York Mets, on a beautiful Saturday in Queens, New York, and I can report two things. One, that Max Scherzer is pretty amazing, and two, that the Mets' relatively new ballpark is fantastic. I don't mind the Rogers Center, or Sky Dome as I remember it being called, but seeing some of these new ballparks is a pretty great way to watch a ball game. This week's podcast is going to be pretty heavy on Buffalo Bisons content because of our interviews, but also because the Bisons released their 2013 end-of-season awards yesterday. The big award, the Stan Barron Most Valuable Player, went to Mauro Gomez. While he started the season late with the Bisons after being claimed on waivers by the Blue Jays from the Red Sox on April 8th, he drove the Bisons' offense with 29 home runs and a .527 slugging percentage, despite hitting only .245 and striking out 126 times in 383 at-bats. Gomez was also named an International League postseason All-Star. Starting pitcher Justin Germano won the Warren Spahn Most Valuable Pitcher Award. 31-year-old Germano had some good games, but was probably the most consistent Bison pitcher over the course of the year with a 4.48 ERA and a 1.397 whip. He has also earned 8.5 points in the Blue Jays from Away Player of the Game tallying, which is currently fourth place on the club. Chenming Wong earned the Judge Michael Dillon Comeback Player of the Year award, pitching for both the Bisons and the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Railriders. Wong has been outstanding with the Bisons, going 4-3 with a 3.18 ERA and a 1.078 whip. The winner of the Frank J. Framo Vallone Community Service Award was Anthony Goes. According to the Bisons' press release, Goes was, quote, part of virtually every community event the team put on in 2013, end quote, and that Goes, quote, served as an incredible player ambassador for the Buffalo Bisons. The Joe Desa Most Inspirational Player Award went to Canadian backup catcher Mike Nickias. Nickias played a lot behind the plate, but he has not hit very well, hitting only .167 with 12 doubles and one home run. He has, apparently, become only the second catcher to appear with the Bisons in five consecutive seasons in the team's modern era, thanks to his time with the Mets organization. This award is voted on by the team. The Jimmy Griffin Hometown Hero Award went to Jim Negrich. The award actually doesn't go to the best player who comes from Buffalo, which Negrich does. It actually goes to the player who performs the best in home games in front of the fans in Buffalo. Negrich hit .296 with 14 doubles, a home run, and 23 RBI at Coca-Cola Field in Buffalo with an outstanding .374 OBP. Now stay tuned for the minor league roundup coming up next. Welcome back to the Blue Jays from Away podcast. Now it's time for the minor league roundup. There has been some shuffling in the minor leagues for the Blue Jays, and I'll cover some of these moves as I discuss the individual teams. The Buffalo Bisons' playoff hopes dwindle as they're now 3.5 games back of Norfolk in the wild card standings with a tragic number of 2 before they're eliminated. The team has a 71-69 record so far this season. As mentioned earlier, the Buffalo Bisons have handed out their end-of-year awards, but the team has pretty much been gutted due to the call-ups to the Blue Jays. The entire outfield of Kevin Pillar, Moises Sierra, and Anthony Goes have been called up to the show, as has starting shortstop Ryan Goins, who has been outstanding playing second base for the Blue Jays over the last week. Replacements have trickled in the forms of Ryan Langerhans, who was released earlier in the season but was re-signed for the remainder, and Blake Galen. Galen, who has 7 years of independent league ball, including a couple of MVPs there, is getting only his second chance in affiliated baseball. His first, in 2011, was an unimpressive 29 games for Arkansas in the AA Texas League. This time, Galen is making his time count with a .320 batting average through his first 7 games. Pitcher Sean Nolan has also been promoted to Buffalo and has been strong, if a little wild, over his first 3 starts. His last start was particularly good. He gave up just 1 hit, a solo home run, on his last pitch in 5 2/3 innings. He also walked 3, and that makes 3 consecutive starts in which he's walked at least 3. Catcher A.J. Jimenez has been put on the shelf with a minor elbow injury, necessitating the call-up of Jack Murphy from New Hampshire. The New Hampshire Fisher Cats are all but eliminated from the playoffs and are 67-70 with 4 more games in the regular season. Outfielder Jonathan Jones and catcher Chris Schaefer were promoted from Dunedin to fill some spots on the club. And pitcher Austin Bibbins-Dirks returned after Sean Nolan's promotion to Buffalo. Marcus Stroman has had some rough outings, including his last one, in which he gave up 5 runs, 4 were earned, in just 3 innings. Andy Burns continues to be hot, hitting .288, .339, .468 for the month of August with 4 home runs and 6 stolen bases. He'll be headed to the Arizona Fall League, and hopefully will be able to continue this hot streak rolling. Despite being the winners in the North Division in the first half, the Dunedin Blue Jays are 24-38 in the second half, but reinforcements are on the way. Lefty Matt Boyd has slid into the Dunedin rotation seamlessly, and Taylor Cole got the call from Lansing and made a solid start, but went on the DL right after. This may be to accommodate other roster moves. Daniel Norris has reported that he's getting promoted, but it hasn't been made official yet. That is, he hasn't been added to the Dunedin roster, nor has he pitched yet. Finally, Emilio Guerrero was promoted, although he hasn't gotten into a game yet, after a red-hot finish to the season in Lansing. Top prospect Aaron Sanchez probably had one of the best starts of his career yesterday, going 7 shutout innings, his longest outing of the season, and giving up just 4 hits and 1 walk while striking out 4. First baseman Casey Hobson has been slumping, although he needs just 2 home runs to get to 20, but he has just hit .132 over his last 10 games. With the Lansing Lugnuts well out of it, their lineup has been cannibalized to help out the Dunedin Blue Jays with 4 games remaining. The Lugnuts will get a chance to see Kendall Graveman, this year's 8th round pick, and Eric Brown, as well as prospects like Dalton Pompey, Santiago Nessie, and youngsters promoted from Vancouver, Jordan Leyland and Dan Klein, for another few days. Pompey has been unbelievably hot for the past 10 games, hitting .389, .532, .722, with 3 home runs and 3 doubles over that span. It's quite amazing considering that Pompey isn't playing at 100%. I'm sure he's looking forward to the end of a long season to heal up and get ready for next year. With just 4 games remaining with the Tri-City Dust Devils, the Vancouver Canadiens are going for a playoff spot to defend their 2-time Northwest League championship. It's a complicated split-season playoff procedure to get that second spot in the North Division because the Everett Aqua Sox, who are leading the division in the second half, also won it in the first half. The league rules state that if a team wins both halves of the season, the team with the next best record overall gets to the playoffs. Right now, that's the Vancouver Canadiens, who have a game lead on the Spokane Indians and also have the tiebreaker in hand. That means that if the Canadiens and Indians finish in a tie, the Canadiens will go to the playoffs. With Shane Dawson on the shelf for the rest of the season due to an injury, it's up to Tom Robson to lead the charge. Robson is the team's hottest pitcher, and he showed again how he's so comfortable pitching close to home. In a shutout of Tri-City, Robson pitched 6 innings and gave up just 4 hits and 1 walk, getting 10 ground ball outs to just 1 fly ball out. He now has an ERA under 1 and a whip just above it in 38 1/3 innings in Vancouver. Shortstop Dowell Lugo has also started to heat up for the Canadiens. Since being promoted, he's hit .293 with a home run and 4 doubles in 58 at-bats, but all of those extra base hits have come in the last 7 games, which could indicate that the 18-year-old Dominican is getting more comfortable at the gnat. The Bluefield Blue Jays have faded since Dowell Lugo was promoted and have now lost 5 in a row and 8 of their last 9. Bluefield has clinched a spot with 1 game to go. Bluefield has clinched a playoff spot with just 1 game to go. First baseman Matt Dean has been the real story for the Blue Jays. He's been unbelievably hot over all of July and August and has really hit his stride after a subpar year in 2012. This season he leads the Appalachian League with a .340 batting average and has 14 doubles, 3 triples, and 6 home runs. He's hit .400 since the beginning of August, making Dean possibly the most improved hitter in the Blue Jays system. Finally, the GCL Blue Jays wrapped up their season going 28-32 with a win against the number one Yankees team. With pitchers Miguel Castro and Jimmy Cordero moving up to Bluefield, there wasn't a lot going on besides Dominican shortstop Richard Urena, who came over from the Dominican Summer League for 7 games. Rowdy Tellez has really started to hit his stride, punishing the ball in his last few games of the season, hitting both of his home runs, 2 of his 3 triples, and 2 of his 5 doubles in his last 7 games of the year. Additionally, despite playing 34 games, he had 11 of his 29 hits in just the last 7, and 9 of those hits came in the last 4. Tellez looks like he still has a long way to go, but has really turned a corner as he'll head into the Fall Instructional League. That's all for the Minor League Roundup. Stay tuned for interviews with Drew Hutchison and Kyle Drabek of the Buffalo Bisons coming up on The Conversation here on the Blue Jays From Away podcast. Back to the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'm here with Drew Hutchison. Drew is pitching for the Buffalo Bisons right now. He's already pitched very well in the major league level, and he's on his way back from Tommy John surgery last season. Welcome to the podcast, Drew.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, first of all, let's talk a little bit about, you know, what was happening before the injury. Things were going really well. You were pitching in New Hampshire, and then you got the call to come up to Toronto. What was that like, the first experiences in the major leagues?
Obviously something you've worked for your entire life, so it's very exciting, and you finally reached that level, and you want to stay, so you know you're doing everything you can to stay, and then you know unfortunately this happened, but now you know almost all the way back from it, so just taking it one day at a time.
And when you were up in the big leagues, you were throwing really well. You were keeping the ball down, and that's your specialty, right? Is a heavy sinking fastball.
Yeah, I was doing a good job of keeping the ball down, which is how I like to pitch, attack the hitters down in the zone and get a lot of ground ball outs.
And when you got hurt, you know, what did you feel? What did you think was happening when you felt it happen?
I wasn't sure. I'd never had an arm injury before. I'd never missed a start or been pushed back or all the way up through the minors. I just knew something wasn't right. That was the only way I could describe it to the training staff. You know, during the game, I lasted a few pitches, and I just knew something, you know, wasn't quite right. And then obviously I found out, you know, what it was and everything, and unfortunately had to get surgery.
Now, that was your, you said, you know, you've never had an injury before. So what was it like, you know, all of a sudden you're not with the team anymore and you're trying to figure out how you're going to get back?
Yeah, it's definitely frustrating, and it happens really quickly. You go from your mindset of, you know, pitching that night to getting ready to go to, oh, and everything kind of slows down real quick. So it was definitely real frustrating, and it's not fun.
I don't want to say, you know, it was good, but there were probably some things that could have been worse. I mean, at this time you had Kyle, and you also had Luis Perez, who both had the same surgery to rehab with. Was that, if not good, was that at least some kind of comfort?
Yeah, it's never good, and the process isn't fun, for sure. But having those guys there, it did help, because you could ask, you know, they both had it before I did, so I could ask them, hey, did you feel this at this many weeks or that? Do you feel this a little bit? You know, just little stuff like that, not being there by yourself, you know, definitely, you know, it was better than, you know, if you were there by yourself.
And now that you're coming back, I actually did see you guys at spring training taking pitching fielding practice. It looked super fun. but on your way back, you know, what are the things that you've had to go through once you've started to get out and throw?
You know, now it's just more about getting used to being back on the mound, competing again. You know, you don't compete for, you know, in my case, I want to say it was 14 months maybe, because I got hurt in June, didn't have the surgery till August. So just getting back out there competing again, it's exciting. You know, it's what I love to do, is to compete. And, you know, just getting back out there doing that again and just starting to polish everything up to where it needs to be.
So you definitely feel that when you come back out and start pitching, the drive is there, but maybe the polish and the rust is on there.
It's just little things that you can't replicate. You know, no matter what you do, you can't replicate a game. You just can't do it. So, you know, you just build up as much as you can, and then you go from there. It's just very small things, just things that, you know, you're just not polished on, just small things.
And where would you say on the way back you are? Like, all the way back, ready to go, or you still need to find the feel on a couple?
I'm getting close. Like, I'll see it. I've seen it a little bit. You'll have flashes of it where everything's there, together, everything's crisp, and then you have other innings where, you know, you're just a little off, or you're a little this or a little that. So it's there. It's just about right now being consistent and finding that consistency every pitch in every inning. That's just the difference.
So, and you're here in Buffalo. This is your first time playing in Buffalo and playing in AAA. How are you finding that experience? Is it any different than any of the other minor league teams you've been with?
No, everything's pretty much, you know, normal. Like I said, just getting out there and trying to get everything crisp again.
And I know you're about to get on the bus for a nice long bus ride to Pawtucket. So I'll let you go, but we wish you the best of luck. We hope to see you back in Toronto soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'm here with Kyle Drabek, pitcher right now for the Buffalo Bisons, but he's been with the Blue Jays and he's working his way back from Tommy John surgery. Kyle, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, let's go back to last year. I mean, it was a really horrible 4 days in July, I believe it was, when three pitchers for the Toronto Blue Jays went down, including yourself. Did you, since you've already had Tommy John surgery, did you know that it was something as bad as it had been the first time?
Well, the first time I didn't feel a pop or hear anything, and the second time I felt a pop, and it kind of scared me, you know. I knew something was obviously wrong, but when they took me out, I didn't have any of the same symptoms I felt like as I did with the first one. And there was really, like, no pain in the, like, stretching, I guess, that the trainers were doing. So my hopes were up, thinking that it was just, like, a little scare. But then, you know, the MRI showed that it was torn, and rest is history.
Right. So, you know, you have the surgery, and then you start working your way back. And what's that experience like? You've already done it once, but coming back again, and this time you had a couple of compatriots, I guess, to do it with. You had Hutchison and you had Louis Perez, who's still back down in Dunedin. So was it a little bit different this time having some company on the way back?
The first one I actually had company with Mike Zagurski. He actually tore his hamstring. So I was rehabbing Tommy John while he was rehabbing his hamstring. Then spring training came and he actually tore his ligament and had to have Tommy John. So I was able to somewhat go through it with him, but it was bad but nice having someone else. And you know, it was horrible to see Hutch and Perez go through it too, but you know, I was glad to have someone else, you know, down there with me, because it would have been a long off season if it was you know, just me by myself there.
Did you sort of compare, you know, hey, I'm feeling like this today? Have you guys ever felt that, or, you know, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling bad, or specific symptoms that you could share with each other and sort of talk about it and just go through it together and you know, compare notes?
Yeah, I think there would be, you know, little different pains in the elbow that, you know, as of the day, we still talk about, like, hey, did you ever get a pain in this spot or in this spot? And, you know, if they happen to say yes, well, what'd you do to get it better? And you know, it's great, you know, knowing that you have someone else to talk to, and that it's, you know, a fresh memory. It's not, you know, oh yeah, 10 years ago I felt this. So we do talk about it, and you know, it's kind of nice to, you know, have another person to help go along with it.
Now, getting back on the mound, when you first got back on the mound in Dunedin, what's it like? Obviously, it doesn't feel the same. What kinds of things are you thinking about? What kinds of things are you working on as you take the mound in game action coming back?
You know, I would say the scariest part would probably be throwing your first bullpen again. And then once you get past that and get into your first game, you know, you're in the back of your head, you're kind of scared, but you can't do that, and you can't like shut off other parts of your body just to help out your elbow. But you know, it after you get through the first inning, it feels good. You know, you start feeling like you're back, and you know, you're on your way.
I mean, obviously, it's not just as simple as getting back on the mound and you're back. Are there things in your control, in your command, in the way certain pitches feel as they're coming out of your hand that you sort of have to readjust to?
Definitely, you know, after your first bullpens and getting into game situations, you know, you, for me at least, I tend to, you know, feel different with grips, I guess. My holding the ball with, you know, each grip, I kind of had to find that more than mechanics. But, you know, we had a lot of time to work on mechanics, and, you know, it was just getting those pitches back that I would say was the hardest thing.
Now, I know, I think it was the beginning of last year that they were really working on you, with, on your mechanics, particularly in your follow-through and getting you to follow through straight, more straight to home plate. Mm-hmm. Did you sort of take advantage of the time off to refine those mechanics a little bit more, to polish some things that you might almost have to struggle through to adapt during the season, whereas the time off could really help you sort of restart or, you know, reboot the machine?
Yeah, you know, I tried to go back to what I was doing last year, and, you know, it felt good, but first few games, I couldn't find it, I guess. And, you know, I just took what they had and, you know, half of what I wanted to do, which almost I did in high school, was add a turn, but just a little one now. And having, you know, half them and half me, it's actually worked out nicely.
Now, I heard somebody say that after your last outing, which was fantastic, I think three perfect innings, can't remember how many strikeouts, but it wasn't the strikeouts that was necessarily, you know, the most impressive part. I heard you say, or I heard somebody quote you as saying that you feel like you're back to where you were. You know, what does that mean?
I think it just means, you know, I'm comfortable with where I'm at, mechanic-wise, and, you know, throughout my whole career, I've had a bunch of different kinds of mechanics, and I think I finally found the one that, you know, I had in high school, but polished.
Well, and we hope you have the same type of success, and obviously not going to be exactly like that every time out, but we really hope that to see you back in Toronto at some point, and wish you the best of luck as you continue your rehab.
Thank you very much.
That wraps it up for episode number 16 of the Blue Jays from Away podcast. I'd like to thank Drew Hutchison and Kyle Drabek for joining us this week. I'd also like to thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @JaysFromAway. Come on back next week and go Jays go.